Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. If you have it, please stand up as we read this together. Okay, these are six verses, so let's just read it together. This is the word of our Lord. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me to a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I display my splendor. But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. And I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and of my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. God's message to us today comes from our guest speakers who traveled all the way here from, I think, Africa. They'll elaborate more. Reverend Daniel and Dominica Lai. And Ms. Dominica is here. I'd like you to just stand up and just wave to the crowd. Daniel will be up a little bit later. Yeah. They have been serving with Wycliffe Translators in East Africa since 1998. Besides serving as external relations officers, operations managers, financial manager, and partnership coordinators. As you can see, they wear many hats for Wycliffe. He's also involved in the outreach to the Chinese in Uganda and Kenya. Reverend Daniel travels extensively for church and mission mobilization, and it's a wonderful pleasure to have him here as he speaks to us today. His sermon is entitled, A Light for the Nations. So welcome, Reverend Lai.
Good morning, everybody. How are you today? In East Africa, am I okay? In East Africa, if we greet a group of people, I usually say Hamjambo, and your response is very simple. Your response is Haktu Jambo. Okay, can you say Haktu? Well, when you say Haktu, well, don't spit, right? Because we have a lot of swine flu around, right? Okay? Okay, try. Use your hand, okay? Hamjambo! Wow, you all look like African. Yeah. Welcome to Africa. Congratulations to RCCC that you are celebrating your 30th anniversary. And also you have a very good missions handbook. I think that this is a very solid handbook that I've ever seen. A lot of different situations that you have been involving. Yeah, this is very good for all of you. And I'm also very glad that you are also partnering with African. Yes, it is also very exciting to know about that. Actually, this year, you have a president. This is a very different president. So that makes a lot of different people. They make a lot of different souvenirs. And in Africa, we also have some souvenirs like this. We have the president of America, and also we have the map of Africa. So we pray that in the future, you can have partnership together with Africa too. Okay, you are Asian, Africa, America, Africa. It all start with A. This is very good for all of us together to do that. Okay, let us pray. Father God, we give thanks to you because you are the great God. We thank you for this morning that we can worship together. Father, we know that you are the God of mission, and you also challenge us and call us to be missionary to serve you. Father, we pray for today that the sermon and the message that you've given to us, so that we can receive your call and also respond to your call by your Holy Spirit's inspiration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So on behalf of our family, yeah, we want to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have seen my wife Dominica, and also we have been serving in Africa for 11 years. And the main thing, actually, you can see this from those photos, you can see that we have some cross-cultural ministry. Yeah, this is our main roles in Africa. However, we still have some side ministry, like the slum, the AIDS, the orphanage, the school, etc. A lot of different kinds of ministry over there. And this is just Sinai's ministry. So a little bit think we do that on our leisure times to do that. So our children, the elder son, Nathaniel, yeah, actually he has graduated from high school last year. And then now yeah, he's studying at a university in Australia. Yeah, they are ABC2, Australia born Chinese. Yeah. So Nathaniel, so after he graduated from high school, so he has finished some kinds of volunteer service with COVID and also with the Doulos, the gospel ship. And then this is very exciting for him because he can expose himself because he's just 19 years old. But for 10 years, he spent in Africa. So this is a good opportunity for him to expose himself to other parts of the world. And also, he's very enjoyable about this kind of mission. Yeah, he served with Doulos for 3 months. And then before he entered into university, he also enjoyed this because he's a very introvert person. But through this kind of mission, he will try to do what kinds of thing that God wants him to do. So when the ship is traveling on the sea, he is just a kitchen hand or serving in a kitchen. But when it is when they go to the coastline, they have a lot of different kinds of participation with evangelism, also selling the Christian literatures and let more people understand about Jesus. And this is our daughter, Hannah. So she just finished her high school the past July, and then she also wanted to join Doulos. However, the time is not appropriate for her, and then so she is planning to go back to Australia to study in university in March. However, she is spending some time to study Mandarin in Beijing at the moment for 3 months. This is just an intensive course because at home we speak Cantonese with them. And then so they know that actually they sooner or later they should learn some more Mandarin. So they make use of this time and then to study that. Okay, the passage that we have just read about is from Isaiah. Yeah, the topic that I'm going to talk about is as a light for the nations. Yeah, actually our mission organization has a lot of different people come to visit. One time, when some elders and pastor visits our organization in Huntington Beach. It was at Huntington Beach at that time. The situation is very good because the people can understand about what kinds of work that Wycliffe Bible Translator has been doing. And then so the leader brought the elders and pastor to a presentation room and presents the final things to them. And then at the end of the presentation, he asked the people, do you have any questions? And then at the end of the presentation room, there was an elder. He's very old, 80 years old. So when he was listening to the presentation, he was closing his eyes. People thought that he was sleeping. However, he's not. He wasn't sleeping. And then when the presenter asked about this question, and then he raised up his hand very quickly. After he raised up his hands, and then because he's too old, he have to steadily and then stand up. And then he still need to take some time to compose himself what kind of question that he's going to ask. He said, I have a question. If you were 80 years old, but only on that day today, you know a mission, a ministry that you, it's worth to invest your whole life to that, what would you do? When he said this, his eyes burst into tears. He was crying. It doesn't mean that 80 years old couldn't serve the Lord. However, we still have a lot of time to serve the Lord. When I see those young people, maybe probably you add up your age and the age of your neighbor, still not up to 80 yet, right? And then say, you still have lots of time to serve the Lord. No matter what kinds of occupation you have been doing, you still can serve the Lord. This is something that we can participate. Like what William Carey, what people call the father of modern mission. One time when he was a shoemaker, do we have any shoemakers here today? We don't have any shoemakers, same as the same occupation with William Carey. When he was a shoemaker, he intended to serve the Lord. So finally he became a pastor. And then at the pastor's group, the pastor's meeting, he raised up a question. Do we have any responsibility to evangelize the indigenous people? At that time, the leaders, the chairperson of the pastor fellowship, wasn't happy about this question. He said, young man, sit down. If God wants to save those indigenous people, he has his plan. You don't need to worry about that. And I don't need to worry about that either. So at that time, William Carey, so he formed the first mission society. And then he himself became the first missionary of that Baptist mission society. And then he went to India to serve the Lord along the sea coast, the coastland. So he himself, when he stepped into the field, he had said something. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. This is something that even a small pastor can think of it. Even a shoemaker can think of it. And I believe all of you also, you have a lot of different better occupation than a shoemaker. You can also think about this one. Just like what Philippians has mentioned. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. For this, I use the Chinese part, I use the Chinese new translation, which is more actually to translate the meaning. It talks about the energy, just like what the English use, the dynamite or dynamic. It came from this word, not just strength. When we say about strength, it looks like some kinds of quantity. However, this is a kind of power, a kind of energy that's given by God. So we do a lot of things through him, not by ourselves. Just like the moon itself, when it shines, we see that the moon is shining. However, it's not the moon shining. It is the sun that shines the moon so that the moon can shine. So we all like the moon. We just shine, but not by our own light, but by the power or the light from our God. This is something that we can use and also understand about that. In verse 1, it's mentioned that, listen to me, O coastland, and give attention, you peoples from afar. From Palestine, if the prophet is talking about some kinds of things to the coastland, it means it is something that near, because just opposite to the coastland of Palestine, you can see a lot of different islands over there. It's like talking to those islands. And also, this message is not just to those peoples who are near, but also to those people who are afar. And give attention, you peoples from afar. Probably we are afar from Israel, afar from Jerusalem. It looks we are afar. We are a group of people. But this message is not just to one kind of people, but to the people's group, more people groups that should listen and also give attention. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. I see some people, you're pregnant, right? When you have the baby, probably you may try to think about, well, what kind of name that I should give to my baby. And nowadays it is quite okay that you know that whether it is a male or female, you can name it. However, it mentioned that even those we were in the womb, God can call our name. And even those your parents may not know your name may not give the name to you, but God knows your name, and He can call you and call you by name. So this is something that God is calling us and also trying to give us the message along. And a lot of times He is trying to give us the message, and you also listen and also understand His message already. God is wanting you to respond, to give some response to Him. And verse 2, He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand, He hit me. He made me a polished arrow. In His quiver, He hit me away. It mentioned about two kinds of things, sword and arrow. What are the difference between this kind of thing, or what's the relationship between these two kinds of things? They are weapons, right? When your enemy is from afar, probably you can use the arrows to shoot them so that you can stop them not coming near. However, if the enemy is coming to you step by step and you didn't realize that, however they come in front of you and you can't use the arrow to shoot them because it's too close, you have to use the sword to cut them, to defend, to attack. So this is something that we have to use, those kinds of weapons, and you have to use it immediately, not just hiding it away. If you just hide it from afar, you can't take these kinds of things very, very quickly. Like for myself, I used to be in the Army Reserve in Australia. It's mainly for my physical training because I was very weak when I was young. So I tried to train up myself, have a good physical training. Usually the commanding officer, they like to play around and muck around and then like to test those stickers, those private soldiers. Yeah, they may suddenly say, on parade! When we listen that some people is calling on parade, we have to rush and then prepare ourselves. Some of them, they may be having shower. Some of them may be having relaxed or sleeping. We have to carry our weapons and then come up here immediately on parade. And those commanding officers, they may like to say another command. Strip your weapons! When we listen to that, we have to take the rifle and then we have to disassemble it quickly. And then to show that we understand how to use this rifle. If you don't know those weapons, probably when the commanding officer asks you to strip your weapon, you may not know how to do that, right? When you try to make it, and then probably you may break it. And then so they may ask you to assemble it again, and then so you have to assemble it quickly. Otherwise, you can disassemble the rifle, however you can't put it back. So we have to understand about our weapons, how we can use it. And also this is ready for you to use. Like when we see those movies, yeah, those knights, yeah, they are very, very good, very long swords. Right? People like that, wow, they look very nice. However, in the real situation, it's not easy to take out a sword like that long and carrying on at your back. So if the enemy came near and you want to try to take it, probably it's very difficult to take it. And you may have to untie it and then put it down and take it out. When you take it out and you haven't used your sword for a long time, when you take it out, oh, it's broken. I can't attack. I can't defend. So this is something that's very funny. So we have our weapons ready. And also God is also using you. He wants to have you get ready. So we have to ready ourselves for God's use. And also God has given us the weapons. We also have to use it and get it ready. So whenever God wants to use us, we have to use this. So this is something that God is preparing ourselves. Our spiritual life, we have to get it ready. Otherwise, we can't defend the Satan's attack. This is something very important. And verse 3 is mentioned that. And he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. It talks about Israel. When we became Christians, that we are new Israelites. We are new Israel people. So we ourselves become the new tribe and also becomes a new kinds of people. God wants us to be his servants. And so that God will be glorified through us. Remember that God is using us, not ourselves to glorify God, But God is using us, giving us opportunity to glorify Him. This is a great opportunity that God allows us to serve Him. This is something that we can understand and also explore. This is like when we start worshiping here or coming to the church. We can start prepare ourselves to glorify God in different kinds of situations, like worshiping here, going back home, in your marketplace, in your workplace, wherever or whatever. You have the opportunity to glorify God, but God wants you to understand this. This is an opportunity for God to use you. And verse 5 is mentioned to bring Jacob back to Him, and that Israel might be gathered to Him. It mentioned about Jacob and also mentioned about Israel. Who are they? Actually, Jacob and Israel is the same person. Israel is the new name that God given to Jacob. Jacob is also Israel. When we talk about Jacob, probably we may just mean one person or the tribes, the 12 tribes, and then the clans of Jacob. When we talk about Israel, it may be the nation, there are all kinds of peoples, and also the new Israelites. It tells us that we have the responsibility to glorify God, to bring Jacob back to Him, and that Israel might be gathered to Him. When we put ourselves into the shoes of that prophet, Jacob probably is the same clan, or same tribes, or same race of ourselves. If you think that you are a Chinese, so probably this is something that God wants you to do, to bring Chinese back to Him, and that Chinese might be gathered to Him. So this is trying to bring them back to God. So if we look at that, in Chinese, there are lots of different minority groups, 55 minority groups, plus Han, because some people said that Han is not minority. So there's 55 minority group there. And this is probably, when you look at this, wow, this could be a very big people's group, a big burden that we should do. We have to pray for the salvation of the Chinese souls. It's 1.3 billion in mainland China, and also about 50,000 millions overseas Chinese. It looks like the biggest ethnic groups. If we can do that, this is already a big job for us to do that. Because when we bring back the Chinese group, overseas Chinese and the mainland Chinese back to God, this is a big project we should do. This is something that God wants us to do because we are Chinese. If you look at that, we are Chinese. We can understand this is our responsibility to do that. If we don't do that, we can't expect other Japanese to do that, or can't expect other Filipinos to do that. We have the first responsibility to do that. Certainly, other people's group, they can do that. It doesn't mean that they can't. However, if we do that, probably we have the first responsibility to do that. For verse 6, it's mentioned that it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved spoil. It also mentioned again, it's not just bring Jacob back to him, but talking about raise up. Raise them up. Let them survive. Revive. This is something even bigger than the first project that we have mentioned. The first project is bring them back to God. And now he's talking another more difficult thing. Is raise them up and let them revive. So this is something even bigger. So when we look at this, this is something that we have to pray for them. And lots of different kinds of situations we can involve. Like some statistic in mainland China, there are a big number of churches over there. And also from the overseas, there are lots of different projects over there, a lot of different churches over there. When we talk about the statistic, a lot of people said when you mix the whole world's population together, when you just draw every four people, you may have one Chinese, and this is true. However, when we look at the missionaries' population, according to the Operations World statistic, there are about 420,000 missionaries around the world. And the Chinese missionaries, the number of dead is just about 2,000. So this is not every four person is, of a four missionary is one Chinese missionary, and not even 40 missionaries to one Chinese missionary. So this is something that we can think about it. This is a big project to revive, to let the Chinese group to become more be involved and raise up. However, this is a big, more difficult project. But God tells us that it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up tribes of Jacob and so and so. God is mentioning that it is too light a thing. Even to raise up the Chinese group is just little thing to him. And what is the big thing here? Verse 6a, 6 mentioned, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. God not just want us to be only serving the Chinese, bringing them to God, not just trying to revive them, train them to become peoples, missionaries. However, God wants us to even to be the light of all nations and preach that to the end of the earth. When you look at this, actually, in the whole world, there are a lot of different people's groups and a lot of different religious groups. When we went to Africa, we have encountered a lot of different kinds of religions. Like, we have 1.4 billion Muslims is growing up. In the past, 2 years ago, their number is still less than the population of Chinese. But now, they have grown up already. And then they are also aiming at to make other nations to become Muslim countries. This is something that we can understand. And also 1.1 billion Hindu. And also about 0.4 billion people Buddhist. And also 0.2 traditional religion. And also 20 million Sikhs. And also 1 million Jews, 10 million Jews over there. When we look at these figures, those figures actually reminding us, actually when we think that other peoples, they are coming near and near, certainly we don't treat them as enemy. However, those peoples are also the peoples of God. They are also loved by God. So we have to think big, something that bigger than the only bringing the not just only bringing the Chinese back to God, but also let them revive and also make more peoples to become missionaries or others. So like those things, preaching the gospels, even in China, they are preaching the gospel back to Jerusalem. This is something that they are trying to mention about that. They are trying to let more people understand about that situation. And also our response to know that if we preach the gospel back to Jerusalem, we have to face a lot of different kinds of religious groups. Not just Muslim, but also the Jewish religious people, and also other Chinese preaching to the Chinese. And also, on the way, you may also pass a lot of different religious groups, like the Tibetan, the Lama, and also the Buddhist. A lot of different kinds of religious groups that we may encounter. So what we can do is actually we have to pray more earnestly for the global mission. This is something that we can do. From the mission pathway, you can enroll and register, and then also online register, you can get those information so that you can pray for each people's group each day. And also from the Operation World, the book, you can also understand that each day you can pray for one country. Those information are very good materials for us to pray for, so that you can know very clearly what kind of thing that you can do. Before we became missionary, this book, Operation World, actually became the book that we read every night before we eat our meal. We read those information, and then we pray for one country each day before we eat our meal. This is something that we can encourage the whole family to bind together to pray for the mission. And also you can also adopt a lot of different kinds of, like the country, the projects, the mission agents. And for this, RRR has been doing very good job that's a lot of different kinds of things and also involve and participate. And also when you donate your money, not just only pray. Pray is the first thing that we can do, and the second thing that we can do is to donate money to support the mission fund. When you support the mission fund, actually your heart will go everywhere. Go to the whole world, pray for them and support them, and you can understand their need over there. And this is something that we can prepare. And finally, probably we have to prepare ourselves. If God calls us to do anything, we can prepare ourselves to serve Him, like some kinds of discipleship training that we should receive, and also some kinds of theological training, even though you may not know where you will go or what you will serve. You can prepare yourself first to receive some kinds of theological training, so that when God calls you, you can do it immediately and get it ready, and it won't take longer time. And even nowadays, you are so lucky, and God is so blessing. God is blessing you very much, because you can even use some kinds of online training to make use of this, so that you can receive some kinds of training. So when God called you to equip, you may be just spend some minimal effort to try to recoup yourself 1 or 2 years, and then become missionary to serve the Lord. So this is something that we can prepare ourselves for Him. Regarding the book, the perspectives, it is also some kinds of training that I think most of the churches or theological seminary should understand about mission. This is a very good book. The original one that was compiled by Dr. Ralph Winter, who was just passed away in May. And this book actually lets me understand more about those information. And also you can encourage your parents or other people to read it, because it's also translated into Chinese as a kind of gift to let them understand more about the kinds of things that they have been involved. And this is some kinds of thing that Grace Commission Center is doing and trying to get more people to get involved and understand about mission. So in summary, we can understand that to pray actually is the most simple thing. We can pray more. Pray more often. During your meal time, your bedtime, this is something that we can pray more for God. And also supporting financially, this is also something important. Finally, we want more people to prepare yourself to go to the field as soon as you can. This is something that we are preparing to do that kind of work. I don't know much about what you will respond. However, this is my response. So it was about 15 years ago when we were young. When we were still a young man, at that time people advised us, well, if you want to go to mission field, better go before 30 years old. So when I go to the mission field, actually it is 40 already. So when I went there, I served. The children are also very small, and people advise us, well, you better not to send bring your children to go to mission field because they need good education. However, God has very good situation. When we go to the mission field, we can see different age groups over there. We can see young men over there, some single people, some people got married, newly married, some people with family, with young people, with big children, etc., etc. A lot of different kinds of things. Even a lot of, in the Western world, a lot of missionaries, they could be very old. They could be 50, 60, even 70. They go to the mission field to serve the Lord. So that means whatever age group you are, you can prepare yourself to serve the Lord. Why we go there? Because we got the challenge. We totally understand about the need in the mission field. Like what Dr. Ralph Winter mentioned, he mentioned that we can divide the mission era into three eras. The first one, led by William Carey, preaching the gospel to the coastland. So William Carey went to the coastland of India. So he preached the gospel and translated Bibles to almost 16 language group people. Although he was a shoemaker, finally he became a linguistic professor and translated the Bible for lots of people's group. This is along the coastland. And the second era was led by Hudson Taylor. Yeah, someone that we know him quite well. Yeah, he loved China. And also, when he became missionary, he preached the gospel along the coastland. However, he knew that the inland need more gospel. So he mobilized people, so he found China inland mission and bring the gospel to the inland so that more people understand God. And the third era was led by a young man called Cameron Townsend. So he was just 17 years ago at that time. He was trying to preach the gospel to the indigenous people. He himself was studying in Bible college. So he, because of a financial problem, he suspended himself for 1 year and then worked with Bible Society. He went down to Guatemala, from America to Guatemala, to sell Bibles there. He didn't have good business, didn't sell good. Why? He met an Indian. That Indian tell him something. He said, if your God is so great, why he can't speak our language? Because Cameron Townsend was selling the Spanish Bible. And at that time, in South America, a lot of countries, they were using Spanish as official language. However, not many people understand Spanish. And Cameron Townsend know about that. So he spent 10 years living among those people and then translate the Bible for them so that they can have their own Bible in their own language. So finally, he went back to America and then found Radcliffe Bible translators. And then although he passed away, at that time he thought that in the whole world probably about 500 language group, people's group. However, this is much bigger than what he thought. We can have a guess. In the whole world, how many people's group do we have? Language groups do we have? Make a guess. It's about 6,000, almost 7,000. And about those 7,000 people groups, how many people's group then have their whole Bible translated into their heart language? There's only about 451 language that have the whole Bible translated. In America, in the West Coast, there's a fast food restaurant called In-N-Out, right? It's not here, right? People said that, and also I also verified that the cup that they're using, at the bottom of the cup, they have John 3:16 over there. However, a lot of people's group, they don't even have John 3:16. You can see some New Testament, about 1,000 people's group, language group, about 800 that have their portion. And some of them, like 2,000, that have started the translation, but not finished any book yet. And however, about 2,400 language groups that they are waiting for people to translate the Bible for them. So this is something that we can do and help and also participate. So when we went to Africa, we have encountered some kinds of training, like to do some injection and stitches to the patient. But thank God, those patients are orange, so that we can do the injection, and also the stitch it is to the banana. So this is something that we can help. And also, we have some kinds of good teachers, some good missionary teachers. So if you are teachers, you can think about going there to serve as a teacher. So when our children have some good teachers, they like the school very much, they like the environment very much, they can adapt the life very well. And even though when we went there, we found that also we have to spend some time to study and learn the culture over there. A lot of people think that, there are a lot of good marathon people. Yeah, they are from Africa. Yeah, this is true. But however, the time concept is quite different. Yeah, when they do things, they do it slowly. But in certain situations, they would do things very fast and then try to speed up. And right here, you can also see that our children, they're preparing themselves to become independent, to go to their school, and also for different kinds of work, we can also participate, like in administration, in computer, in also other kinds of finance work. We need a lot of different kinds of people, medicine people, and also doing that a lot of work. So when we see the Bibles being translated, when we organize the dedication for them, you will feel the excitement that they are really happy to know about, because on that day, they can read the Bible from in their own language. They can understand it and also use their own language to study. And then for 4 years, we also residents in Uganda. It's a new branch. We didn't have enough time to prepare the New Testament for them because it's a new branch. However, when we finished the portion, the gospel for them, they're also very excited. Same situation, yeah, like those people who go there. So when nowadays, not just for publication, we also have other kinds of like CD and audio tapes over there. So we'll try to speed up. A lot of people mention about the marathon man, why they run so fast. Probably they were chasing by those animals. So they work very hard. So if we were chased by somebody, by Satan, by other things, and we realize them, they are chasing us, they are trying to overtake us, we have to do things faster. This is something we have to prepare. So we thank God that's our CCC. After 2008, we have the COVID in Kenya. Elder, you came to represent your church to come over. And then after that, send the scouting team to come over. We are grateful for them because they understand about the need over there, like the Bible translation work. And also they spend some time in the orphanage to try to do some kinds of artwork with them. And those people, they really enjoy, because they don't have such kinds of things to do during the school. They don't have that kinds of material. And also like the building projects, so that's orphanage, they are building the chapel, they are building the classrooms for those students. And also not too far from that orphanage, finally you can reach another dry land, which is Maasai land. You can see the drought and famine there. And nowadays, this is also a national crisis in Kenya, because they don't have water, so that's the drought, the food, and also the crops also got affected. And so people asking for some kinds of job, like doing the bead works, placing the order for them, so that they can have those kinds of order to have the money to buy food. And also in other kinds of orphanage school, you can see that they are very primitive, using those kinds of simple things. And you can see those students, they don't even have a desk to do their work. So they just do it on the knee. And some of them maybe do it on the ground. This is something different from Africa and here. And also like the microfinance work, helping them to try to invest some money so that they can try to do some business. This is a kind of empowering them, like not just giving them fish, but teaching them how to fish so that they can earn money and also do those kind of things. And this is another clinics and church which was burned down about 2 years ago because of the post-election violence. And also the food program and the distribution of the stationery, and then visiting the slum, a lot of different kinds of ministry over there. And also some kinds of widows, they are making some kinds of beadwork, the jewelry, so that when people buy it, it's also another kind of supporting, like people buying, like the shower of blessing. Last time when they visited, they placed 2,000 orders to buy some kinds of cross to give it to their supporters. For the whole people's group, they were very happy. They were very excited about those kinds of business, because this helping them to understand more about the situation. And finally, I would like to use a simple illustration about what Hudson Taylor have encountered. One time when Hudson Taylor, he went to Ningbo to try to do a crusade. When he went to Ningpo on the same boat, there was a young man called Peter. He's Chinese. He has been to UK because he has a Christian name. So that Peter talked with Hudson Taylor for some time. And then Hudson Taylor mentioned that I'm going to have a crusade in Ningbo. You are welcome to come to attend. And that Peter said, yes, okay, I will go there. So Hudson Taylor went down to the cabin and then tried to get his luggage. And then he heard something happen up there. Splash! Some people fall into water. And the people are screaming everywhere. And then so Hudson Taylor came up to the deck. And then he looked around. He didn't see Peter. So he know that Peter actually fell into the water. He tried to help. He tried to rescue. However, he can't at this situation. And he saw a fishing boat coming in the other direction. He tried to wave and ask the fishing man to come over. Some people drop in the water. But those people in the fishing boat, they are heading to another direction. They are going for fishing. And they said, no. We are going for fishing. We are going for fishing. No. They can't help. And the people ask, and Hudson Taylor shouts and asks them to come over. It is some people that drop in the water, not any goods. And those people still passing, and they thought about, we have to earn money, we have to go to catch fish. They don't have enough time. And Hudson Taylor tried to urge them to come over, and he said, I give you money. So when those people listen, have money. And then they are thinking about whether they should go. And then they said, how many would you give? This is the question they ask. And Hudson Taylor told them that, I give all my money to you. And those people ask, how many money do you have? And Hudson Taylor count it. It is 14. Just tell them, I have 14 coins. And those people thought that is too little. I don't want it. However, after the negotiation and talk and urge them to come over, this fishing boat came over. When they spread the net in the water and tried to get it, and the first thing they got was Peter. However, it was too long. Peter can't be rescued because those people, certainly they are waiting for money, they are looking for money, they are looking for job over there. However, this is something about the soul, about the life. This is something that we should do earnestly. This is something that God wants us to do and call us. Not as the light of somewhere, but for the nations. Try to think big and prepare yourself to be the servant of God. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks to you because you are the God that loves us. We understand you are calling us and also asking us to be your servants, to serve you. However, a lot of times we worry about ourselves, we worry about our professions, we worry about our income. Father, a lot of things we cannot live them down. We worry. Father, but you are the God that has the abundant life. Father, we ask you to give us the heart to love those people, to love the Chinese, bring them back to you, to love the Chinese so that they can revive. And most of all, you want us to be the light of the nations, to let more people to know you. Father, we pray that we can be your servants to serve you one day.